Hello, Hal here. Well, what can I say, Warrington and the Magic Weekend. I've seen better tricks from Satie. And I'm starting to think Debbie McGee would make a better coach than Sam Burgess. Why is Fitzy considering extending his contract? Has he been hypnotized by Darren Brown, or is our CEO the biggest illusion of all? As for the wire props, the great Soprendo would make more post-contact meters, and you couldn't power a dynamo bike light off their enthusiasm. I've seen less errors in a Tommy Cooper act than their fifth tackle plays. As Paul Daniels once said, "You'll like this. Not a lot." Well, I don't like this one bit, so Daniels is wrong. But then again, looking back, he was a bit of a cunt.
Hello, welcome to What Would Brian Bevan Say? I'm Rob London. So, with the All England Championships and Wimbledon in full swing, where are my two Strawberries and Creams podcasters? Firstly, he hasn't smashed down a hard-hitting statistic since Roscoe Tanner served an ace on centre court in 1979. Yes, no doubt, with a chaser in his Robinson's barley water. It's advantage, Mr. Sam Sankey.
Hello.
And also, he's cooler than Borg, as jokey as Nastasi, but unfortunately has a nose bigger than Steffi Graf's. Here snorting another line of chalk dust, why, it's game, set, and match to Dennis Waywell.
Second service.
Oh, no one's bothered about Wimbledon, are they, at all? When I wrote that intro, I thought, who cares? Who cares?
You're a big tennis fan. I'm surprised we're not actually, you know, having a bit of tennis in this.
World Cup. Sam's got his World Cup shirt on. Look, he's got his England top on. It's all happening.
Really positive tonight. I'm really positive.
Are you?
I normally start by asking you what you've been up to. But we've had an email, which I think might tell us what Sam's been up to. So
read
the email and then maybe he can confirm this. Dear Sam, I'm originally from Walton, but live in the south of England now. A couple of Saturdays ago, however, I was visiting my elderly dad, a keen Wire supporter, who now lives in a care home in Hale, and like me, is a listener to your podcast. As my father now naps for most of the day, I snuck out and decided to visit Altrincham Market. It was there that I became aware of a voice so unmistakably similar to Sam Sankey's that I instinctively turned around, nearly abandoning my position in the cheese queue in the process. Not actually knowing what Sam looks like, I hesitated before introducing myself. However, just as I was about to make my move, a handsome gentleman intercepted him. The pair stood chatting for the best part of 20 minutes. I had no intention of eavesdropping, but the queue to purchase my favourite Spark and Home matured Red Leicester was quite long, and there are only so many times one can study a cheese label without attracting suspicion. As a result, though, I couldn't help overhearing snippets of their conversation. They seemed to be enjoying a full-blown mutual wankfest admiration session about Ben Curry, while the good-looking chap explained he'd be missing the Hull KR game because he was heading to New York to watch the World Cup final. My three questions are, was it actually you, Sam, or have I innocently mistaken you for an out-of-condition old man buying cheese? If it was you, what cheese did you purchase? And finally, is it normal for two grown men to spend 20 minutes trying to convince themselves Ewan Irwin is quicker than he actually is while standing in front of the Applebee's Double Gloucester? Best wishes, Simone Jane Nuram from Cheddar.
Interesting.
Were you at Altrincham Market, Sam, a few weeks ago?
Alp Blossom. Oakenshield, and there was a goat cheese. I can't remember what it was. That's all I can remember about that.
There you go, Simone. It was Sam. Excellent.
Who were you talking to, Sam? Is it anyone? Anyone who's a fan of the
No board? Idea. No idea.
Okay.
How are you, Dennis? You're good?
I'm very well. I've got nothing to say really, actually, today. A bit fucked off with it all, really, I suppose.
Yeah. Well, should we just crack on then? Should we get through this as quick as we can? That'd be
Well,
the
no,
best way.
look, you what have you been up to?
What have
Pick our
I been up
spirits
to?
up.
Well, my little boy, he turned 11. He's 11 tomorrow, but we took a group of his friends to Luna Park. Luna Park's the old fairground. It's been there forever. It's right down in the heart of Sydney, right by the Sydney Harbour Bridge in North Sydney. They've tried to close it down, but it always seems to get another life and carry on. So we went there. But what I was a bit disappointed was he went on the Dodgems, and OH&S has gone mad. You have to go round in the same anti-clockwise loop the whole time.
Well, you're not allowed to have a head on.
When did Gippos go woke? That's what I wanted to know. So,
I thought you were going to say they put airbags on them or something like that as well
well, that'll
now.
be the
So,
next step, won't it? No, no banging into each other. Just all go round in an anti-clockwise circle.
Oh, it's no good, is it? How are the bloody car thieves of the future going to get on? You know what I mean? They ain't got to practice like that.
Right, Catalans, come on, let's get on with this. The team was
Fuck it.
Thewlis. Thewlis? I can't say it, and I've stopped being able to say that. The team was Thewlis, Ashton, Lindop, Smith, Hopewattie, Irwin Hayes, Thomas Walkerburn, Bentley Curry, and Harrison. Interchange bench was Powell, Crowther, Wood, Tanganoa, and Holroyd was used as the 18th man. Here's the highlights.
Now here, given to Harrison, rumbles forward, gets it away. Now they've created a chance. Ball out wide, and there they are in. Ashton is over. He's going to hoist it high across field. Fatape coming. Ball is up in the air. He's picked up. Livovic. Well, he's got it down. Well, they're in a bit of trouble here. They lost their way, didn't they, there, Warrington?
Oh, dear.
Oh no. He's
oh,
gone
no.
down.
Yeah. It's Aaron Lindop. And that's that troublesome knee. He's just come back.
Here now is Dodd, ball over the top. And here's Cotrin. And he's unmarked. And he's going in. Hypocrisie dans soi. Les verres sont cassés. Smith, he's tackled, 10 away, they're going short side here. Hopewattie's been a threat all night. He's got to the line and he's got it down. Here's Hayes, fires the ball, it's a bounce pass, it finds Harrison who was almost in. They want it wide. Ashton screaming for it here. It's Ashton. Gets it away. Chance for Murphy. Warrington score. Parti seul dans la rue. Je cherche mon chemin. Je ne le trouve plus. Il me paraît bien loin. They get it away here now. Sexton, short pass. Dodd's going to score. And the Dragons do get the next try. Finds Sexton. Sexton fires a miss out pass to Aspirobiche. Aspirobiche's away. He's got support all around him. Oh, he's gone for it alone. He should have passed. He just passed. And now the pass on the ground. And the referee has given a penalty, saying that it is tackled. Well, Guillermo Aspirobiche has got Sexton and marked on his inside. All he had to do was pass. Sans trop de raison, tu m'as laissé hier, la fin de la saison. Final score, Warrington 18, Catalans 16. There were tries for Ashton, Hopewattie and Bentley. Conversions, Irwin kicked three. Referee was Noel Edmonds. Attendance, 8,354.
You were there, Sam, I presume. Hot evening.
It was roasting. But just before that, just for you, Rob, just to let you know, Switzerland-Colombia is still 0-0 at the moment.
Okay, thank you. Thank you.
Well, we don't want to be putting that out, do we? Because, like, you know, it just ruined what day we've recorded on. And football shit. So let's move on.
Oh, you'd like that, Dennis.
I don't know if that's why I'm depressed.
Have you watched any of
football.
It? Have you watched any of it?
Bollocks.
You were watching it the other night because you knew the score when England were playing.
I went to put the cricket on. And then the normal telly comes on because I don't watch normal telly. And all I could see is like the England players in a huddle. It was a hydration break. They were getting beat 1-0, I think, by Conger. And there was a bloke with a plastic beard. And I just thought, this isn't for me. So I thought, fuck that. And that was it. That's all I saw. I'm having a drink. So it's shit.
Did England get to the semi-final? When we played Croatia in the World Cup, we got to the semi-final.
Yes.
And Dennis and I did watch it in a caravan in Devon.
Yeah.
He was fine that night.
Yeah, it was fine. Yeah.
Sorry, we digress.
With age, he's become grumpy, hasn't he?
Mm.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Anyway, back to Catalans. It was hot. A scorching night, and we started well, to be fair. We should have done. We were favourites to win. But we suffered quite a lot of adversity during that first half, with Lindop first doing his leg and then Thewlis doing his, and ended up with a very unusual setup for the team. But before that, we looked like we had some good shape. Obviously, they played Didi Man Hayes, and he started positive as well, but it all went ragged in the second half when we moved players around. But we came up with a win. And
reading the Sam Burgess hymn sheet here, Dennis, by the sounds.
I know. I think he has. He obviously can't remember. Were you drinking this night, Sam? I think you were, weren't you?
Yes, he was.
Quite a few. Oh, yes. Yeah. Yes, actually. Yeah. Actually, now you come to say it.
Yeah,
I don't know why, but I came up with an idea to see if I could have five different drinks, didn't I? Starting with an Aperol Spritz.
So England are having a hydration break. You're having a dehydration break, pretty much.
Yes.
In the sun.
Right. Yes.
So basically, the game is summed up by Sam with details at the beginning and then really tailing off towards the end because you can't really remember what goes on.
Yeah.
Did you get up, Rob? Did you get up?
You know what? How long have we been doing this? What year is this podcast? What is it?
Don't think about
this. This is the most deflated I've been. The least interested I've been, I think, in the whole time I've been watching Warrington from Australia. I did wake up and I can't remember if I did or not now. But I've got very little interest in it. The standard has just absolutely fallen off a cliff. And then you've got the World Cup going on and, you know, everything else. So I probably dozed through it. I don't remember any of it. I just remember it being bang average. I remember it being hot. You all seem very happy that it was hot. And Sky never mentioned it once. And I just remember the bombed try at the end. I just remember Catalan could have had a walk in, and we got off with it.
And he tried to take Irwin on, and Irwin took him, didn't he?
And then I thought, well, that was awful. But then I watched a bit of I watched about 2 minutes of the Magic Weekend. I think I sent you a clip. I think it was Castleford versus Wakefield, and I can't remember who broke downfield, but it was the worst drawing of a man pass I've ever seen. It was just, and I thought, fair enough, they're not really at that level where when you break the line, it's a certainty, and that probably summed up Catalans. So I came away thinking that basically neither of these two teams, as I think Sam mentioned last week, are in the hunt for Old Trafford. That's what I thought. And then I got up and enjoyed my day. I think that was it. But honest to God, I'm just not interested at the moment. It's such an eclectic. Who put this squad together? It's like the house that Jack built. Oh, it's awful. It's awful.
Well, I've actually done a bit of work here because I'm genuine.
What?
Well, yeah, I know. I know you nearly fell off your chair. I'm genuinely more positive than I thought it would be. Dennis nearly spat his drink.
I'm just going to pour myself another gin because this is bullshit at the extreme here.
And if I go back, if we go back to that Catalans game, Rob, you're right. The second half was a scrap. It was a scrap. It was untidy. But I actually found myself becoming more and more engaged because the result was in doubt.
You need to get some hobbies.
The result was in doubt, and I felt we did hold on, and we showed, dare I say, resilience.
Resilience against a bum team.
Well, yeah, the quality going forward at the minute, it isn't there. We seem to be lacking. We're too clunky in attack.
Right.
But do you want me to give you these numbers before or after we do Lee?
Oh, I don't know. What do you think? Should we have a vote, Dennis? I think we should do
some numbers now. Come on, because he said he's done some work. Let's reward him.
Very unusual. Yeah, you're right.
So first of all, I do think, Rob, the quality of the league is, I'm going to say, up and down. On some weeks, you watch your team, think, oh, they're good. The next week, you watch them, they get beat by 30. You think, oh, they look crap. And that includes us at times. Burgess in year one, after 16 games, we'd won 11 and we ended up third, having won 20 games. Burgess, year two, at this stage of season, we'd only won 7 games and we ended up all year only winning 10 in a shit year. And frankly, we'd have been happy if it had walked away at the end of last year, wouldn't we? This year, after 16 games, we've won 12 matches. So that's one more than his first year. And we're scoring all but 26 points and conceding 16. And I've looked at the games we've got to come, and I would be very disappointed if we don't reach at least 19 wins. Now, we can talk about the opposition and the depth in Super League, which I don't think is there, because you look ninth down, you could even say eighth with Catalans, who are very up and down each week, but ninth down, Castleford, Hull, Toulouse, York, Bradford, Huddersfield. You've got to expect to win 9 times out of 10 when you're playing those teams at least. But actually, year to date, taking as a whole, in Super League terms, we're still doing okay. I'm only saying okay because we've watched it, and it stats are one thing. You see with your eyes and you see we're clunky in attack. You see we're not using Ashton, but we've still won 12 out of 16
so far. Have you had a pep talk at Altrincham Markets?
I think he has.
I did fear this tonight. I said to Mrs. London, someone's going to be very positive following his pep talk. And it's he's a yes man, isn't he? He's joined the management team. That's what it is, Dennis.
Can you just work out, Sam, what the average number of games we've won then in this second half of the season? Because the numbers you just reeled off there suggest that every year we sort of drop off a cliff. We've had a good start in one, obviously. We didn't do too well, but we didn't win many games in the back half of the season. Is that consistent there?
No, we did in year one, because in year one, we won 11 of 16, and then we won 9 of 11.
Sam, can I ask you a question? Are you confident we're going to make Old Trafford?
No. I think...
So this is three years into his contract. He's been in the job 3 years, yeah? So you're confident to go forward with him next year again?
I would prefer somebody else.
Oh, there you go. Excellent.
But...
Orange alert.
Caviar detected.
Orange alert. Orange alert.
But be careful what you wish for, because... We've had somebody else on many other occasions, haven't we?
Well, we've had somebody else for 55 years, and apart from the year that Tony Barrow won it, which seems to be forgotten by Super League, we haven't won it.
No, that's what I mean. So it's not necessarily changing. I think if Burgey stays, this search for his number two, I feel, is key. Mm. It's key, isn't it?
Has he signed for another year? Have I missed something?
No. But he's not signed for another year. But they were in the press, and he said he was talking, and did Carl Fitzpatrick say they'd sit down and talk and all that thing? So yeah,
That's a good fly on the wall, isn't it, Rob? We could be, you like to be there on that talk, Sam Burgess and Fitz.
Yeah, but to come back, this the reason why I'm. The reason why I'm positive.
Oh, God. It's the cheese.
The reason why I'm give me some fever dreams. The reason why I feel like we could be positive. We've got to come back.
Why would you be positive in this? I wish I had what you have, Sam. I really do. I don't know how you're positive.
Season ticket.
There's nothing else to live for. We've got Taylor Ray.
Have you thought of going into politics? King.
No. Well, I could stand in Clapton, couldn't I? He's stepped down today. I could go.
All right, enough of Mr. Sankey. Come on, Dennis, the floor is yours.
I was just going to ask, what was this other, what sort of cheese did he buy when you were with him? Because I'm just wondering.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Well, he's introduced you to a new cheese, obviously.
I have no idea what you're talking about.
Well, right, I did think that there was a lot. It was a bit of a messy game, and I thought they battled well. And one thing out of everything about Warrington at the moment is we haven't been blown away. The defence has still got a bit of that word that Sam used before. Mm. So you know that would be the only positive I have. But there's no attack. There's no the players are in attack, and you know you go back to that year one start that you've just put. I think we had a relatively good team, and like the impetus of him coming in and everybody being buoyed by that. But I think with the team that we've got this year, I mean, I'm looking at this sort of like win to loss ratio that we saw last year. And I just think with the close position of the teams at the top, and there's only about 4-6 points in it, that we can soon see ourselves battling for that sixth spot. That's the way I see it.
Here you go. How about I read this out? This lady talks a lot of sense. I got a WhatsApp message from her yesterday. This is Michelle Cartier. She's very close to the Melbourne team. And I think she talks more sense than anyone. She sent me this message. A few years of bad decisions take longer to unwind. You cannot get rid of players on contracts, as paying them off still counts to the cap. Little quality around to buy your way. They are all in on building from the youth, but that's another few years before you'll have the numbers. Have to buy to complement what's coming through in the meantime. Getting rid of Williams, King and Philbin, leaving means you can address the pack if we've not spent the whole lot on Croft. Then hope the pack is good enough to let the young backs play off some go forward. So
100%. Absolutely 100%.
I disagree, though, because you know what? I think every year we sit down and we talk about the players that are coming in and, like, you know, we need to address certain positions. But the key thing to me is the coaching. I mean, if you any decent player, we have a good track record of bringing players in and sort of going downhill.
So, how many times do you have to start, though, this process? But why do we keep having this same process? Young, and then all of a sudden we move the goalposts further and further away all the time. This dangling carrot that they keep telling us about the youth, and we've got 11 players now at Warrington, da 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 da. You can't win the league with kids. I know Hansen said that about Ferguson, but rugby league's a different game, and it's boys against men at the moment. When we watch our forward pack, it's such a poor forward pack. There's no go forward. I mean, looking at the numbers, Wood did make 115 metres. Now, Sam, I don't quite understand this, right? So he breaks off downfield. He runs about 40 metres. He then knocks the ball on.
Correct, yeah.
But they gave him the metres.
Yes.
Is that allowed? So
it'll be the meat. It'll be the meters and an error, I would imagine.
Right.
In the start.
So at football, my boy was being taught about they're playing conclusions now at football. It's all about the conclusion. Mm. So until the ball finishes on your foot, they either get a point if it's a successful pass or it's a shot at goal. But if they lose the ball, then the conclusion of the play is negative and you get a minus yes. 1 point on your stats. So I don't know how you can give a guy 40 metres for when he fucks up at the end of the run.
Two different things, really, aren't they?
Well,
because you could say if you're measuring by quality of outcome, then Wood doesn't get many points there at all, does he? But if you're measuring just purely how far he ran with the ball under control, then the stats are correct.
So if there was like a forward pass and then the player didn't hear the whistle go and he ran 80 metres and scut and put the bell down, does that
things.
Count?
Two different things, Dennis.
Or is it two different things? Two
different thing, mate.
Yeah. Okay.
You won't knock me off this positivity. But no, Michel Cartier, I'll tell you what. Michel Cartier is bang on, though. Sorry, Dennis.
Well, you say that. She did send another message after that, but I can't read the second one out.
Sorry, Dennis, we cut you off there.
No, I'm just going to say, I've been just saying about the defence and so on, but let's just make a marker for the next game that missed tackles was 38. That's a lot of missed tackles, isn't it? And Rob's usual highlighted stat with the average metres gained, we didn't do it there either.
Average metres gained, Wire 2.5, Catalans 2.94. This is now round. What round are we on here? This round 15?
Round 16, we've only played 15 because we didn't play in round two.
Gotcha. So the 15 we've played, we have won the post contact metres average gain just once against shitty Castleford when we beat them by 70 points. So.
Well, I've got something else that is potentially telling in the way Dennis said, have we dropped off? In our first 10 games, our errors and penalties combined, our worst game was against Leeds, which we lost, where errors and penalties combined was 17. And we averaged 15 a game. Since Bradford, we've had six matches since we played Bradford in round 12. One, two, three, four. Yeah, six matches. Just checked. That was me counting.
Abacus going.
And four out of those six have been our worst errors and penalties since, averaging five more per game.
So we're getting worse.
That's enough about James Bentley. What about the rest of the team?
Well, James Bentley has given away penalties. He's the ninth most penalised man in the league, and he's only played 10 games.
Yeah, but he's my favourite player.
And his yellow cards, he's got it's the sixth worst in the league, and he's only played 10 games.
Yeah, but he is. He's got a top knot now. I'm not sure about the top knot, Rob. What do you think? Tying his hair up. That's not going for him. But he's our most sort of tenacious player, isn't he? He just runs around tackling anything
forward,
in front of
two
him.
Two steps back with him. Like, if you look at how many penalties he might go, oh, that's great. He's made 8 metres there. And then he gives a penalty away stupidly and they kick the ball downfield and they've gone 35 metres the other way. Like, it's just conclusions, Dennis.
Forget that. You need a bit of aggression, don't you? You want a bit of aggression.
What type of cheese is James Bentley?
Oh, he's just on cheese slices of cheese strings, I reckon. That's all he can manage, I think.
Regards the injuries, Lindop is expected to miss only 6 weeks. We had some good news after the game. It was his ankle, not his knee. Josh Thulis and Jordy Crowther were reported to sick bay as well, both set to be on the sidelines for a month. But I have been told only yesterday that Thulis will play against Wigan. So,
Who told you that? Was it the man down the market, was it?
Moving on to... now this is an interesting graph that I've done. This sort of shows the difference between Sam. I should have done Sam's graph as well, but I put Dennis's WhatsApp message post game and game tweets through AI, and it ran me this lovely graph. So you just talk us through this, Dennis. So you start, you're on our WhatsApp group. You're consistent with your, basically with your WhatsApp messages from about 5:30 till 6:45. We've had seven WhatsApp messages. Then you drop off for about 45 minutes, no messages. Are you having your tea?
Well, funny, but the first little gap, I was chambraying a wine. Appealing to that one listener.
What's that for?
Then what happened, the big gap is some friends turned up.
Socialising.
They were driving past. Yeah, they came round. And
put your phone away.
We were having a wine, this, that and the other. I said, why don't you stay and watch the Warrington match?
And they left.
What a great way to get rid of
them.
Way to get rid of them. So I was
Then you're very trigger happy then with your WhatsApp messages. We go 3, 4.
I'd had a drink.
7, 8, 9. We have 10 messages basically from the start of the game through to half time. But then we flatline after the break. Are you pissed second half? What's happened second half?
I knocked a glass of wine over and had to spend the rest of the second half cleaning it up. So that was that. I didn't even see James Bentley's try. I watched it back the other day and I didn't even know he'd scored. I don't know what I was doing.
Did he score?
Yeah. It was red wine. So you can imagine what that was like. But there was only Sam replying, I think. I don't think Rob was replying. So when he says he got up and snoozed, I think he slept for about 60 minutes.
I went back to... if I watched 10 minutes of this game, I'd be surprised. Round 16 results. Castleford 14, York 20. Leeds 38, Hull KR 8. Hull 16, Wigan 20. Bradford 10, St Helens 40. Toulouse 16, Lee 40. And Wakefield just got over the line against Huddersfield, 29-23. Right. Anything
what else
Burgess,
on the game? Yeah, Burgess said in the post-match interview, trying hard, not too worried about the outcomes at this stage. And as long as we're doing our best over the next month. And from his position, it sounded like the next month is going to be damage limitation. So perhaps he has seen what's coming, unlike another coach who didn't see it coming.
In third place, taking the bronze medal, we have a player who is maybe the most missed out of anyone in the current Wyre squad, and that is Adrian Morley. The signing of the Englishman for the 2007 season from Sydney Roosters was one of Wyre's biggest ever, and boy, he did not disappoint. After just one season at the club, he was made captain, which was a role he would remain in for the rest of his time at Wyre. Morley was reliable in both his availability and his excellence. He was named in the Dream Team for both 2009 and 2010, years where Morley led Wyre to back-to-back successes at Wembley as Tony Smith's revolution gathered momentum. Morley defined all the characteristics that fans love to see. Toughness, commitment, leadership, standard setting. He was the face of the modern successful era. He was famous for his fearless, uncompromising style and willingness to lead from the front, often inspiring his teammates simply through his aura and presence. After 173 appearances, 9 tries, 3 trophies and 2 Dream Team inclusions, Morley moved on to join Salford for 2014. He has proven to be pretty much irreplaceable. As great as the likes of Mike Cooper, Chris Hill and Paul Vaughan have been since Morley, none of them have been able to hold a candle to him. So many times over the last few seasons, I've heard Rob, Dennis and Sam discuss Wyre's lack of firepower in the pack, and every time my brain takes me back to Morley. What would Sam Burgess give to have his former international teammate in his prime on the pitch right now? A drummed up country boy.
Now, Daniel got ahead of himself. I think he's clearly waiting for the season to finish because he sent me his number two and not his number three.
Do tell.
Not his number three. So I had to message back and say, you haven't sent me your number three, which then came back with a whole heap of expletives, but he put it through.
Yeah.
So, yeah, Adrian Morley. One thing I'm noticing about this, Sam, if you look at the team, if you look at the 13 that are taking to the field, we've got Carvell, Curry, Ratchford, King, Cooper, Clark, Westwood, Hill, Hodgson, Monaghan, Morley, and Monaghan and Breers to go. So based on that...
Very Tony Smith.
Doesn't it? It's a Tony Smith
2012-ish,
They're all Tony Smith, right? Not one that isn't played under Tony Smith.
Who was doing the recruitment where Tony Smith was there? Was he doing it himself?
Probably Tony Smith.
Tony Smith, yeah. But there's, and even if you look at the subs as well, Hicks, Gricks, Anderson and Nathan Wood. So we've, out of the 30 that he's chosen...
Nathan Wood would have been there.
Yeah. He's only got one. He's only got one in the 30 who is currently playing.
Matthew How did Ashton. Tony Smith coach and manage the team? What was his style, would you say? I mean, I enjoyed his post-match interviews because you remember he never looked at the camera.
And he was all like looking
round everywhere. I used to find that hilarious.
He got it from the manager of QPR. What was his name? Was it Francis? Yeah, he couldn't look at the camera. He was the first one at it, and then Smith took it from him. Yeah, very similar. Very similar. Well, I mean, if they had more money, didn't they? There was a bit of a tax loophole back then. I think it was easier to bring overseas players in. There was obviously more players around. There was less teams in the NRL, so you could pick a better team.
I remember a couple of stories from the first few weeks of Smith. First of all, we had Paul Rahihi there. I remember Smith got them to walk through an attacking move. And Rahihi said something like, "I've not walked through an attacking move since I was a school kid."
Well, it's probably got a good point. Yeah, you're playing with this lot now, so we need to do that.
Yeah, Smith said, "The way you've been playing, you need to walk through these moves, and if you don't like it, pick your boots up and off you go." And then, of course, he decided that no matter that Martin Gleeson was a very good player, he wasn't a team player, and before long, he'd switched Richie Mavers and Martin Gleeson, hadn't he? So he clearly got rid of the better player, but brought in the better team man.
I think he probably, when Smith started, he was on a Stilton. Very, very sharp Stilton. But towards the end, I've just read here, vintage cheddar. If you leave it out, it starts to crumble after 36 months. And I think that's what happened to Smith, didn't it? Towards the end, it just...
36 months?
Yeah.
I think you need to look at that again. Jesus. Christ.
Well done, Daniel. Hang in there, mate. You've only got one to go because you've sent me number two already.
I think we know the answer. If an Adrian Morley came on the market now and showed even the slightest bit of interest coming to Warrington, you're breaking the bank for him, are you? If the equivalent player comes on the market.
Yeah. Yeah. Who's our enforcer at the moment? Harrison.
No. I mean, I have to go back to Bentley.
Bentley's trying to be.
Yeah. Right. Well, let's move on to the Magic Weekend then against Lee. The team was Irwin, Webster, the fullback, played on the wing. Smith, Hapawati, Ashton, Hayes, Sneed came back in. Byrne, Walker and Harrison in the front row, Bentley, Tanganawa and Curry back at 13. Interchange bench was Powell, Thomas, Wood and Holroyd. Here's the highlights. Broken lines,
broken strings, broken threads, broken springs. Lamb with a long pass, new now, powerful! Powerful test is you! That was a brilliant try! Ain't no use jiving, ain't no use joking. Everything is broken.
Oh, Hamley again. Brilliant offload. Now that Armstrong's got space. Armstrong will go on his own. Oh, what a try. He celebrates before he scores. Switches, broken gates, broken
dishes, broken pots. Streets up. Bit of help from Curry. They go the short side with a Pappy again. And Edwin and Pappy gets a massive try for Leeds. With a swan dive and Hadley with the try. Broken cutters, broken saws, broken buckles, broken laws. And Snee picks up the loose ball and Snee goes under the post and Warrington gets some points on the board. Take a deep breath, feel like you're choking.
Final score, Lee 24, Waddington 6. There was a try for Sneed. He also kicked the conversion. The referee was Liam Pisspoor. Six again more. I don't know what the attendance was because they sort of fudged that. I'm not sure how it works. There seems to be a lot of empty seats when Warrington were playing. But there we are. You didn't go, Sam. Didn't feel this was for you.
No. No. I had a family event on Saturday.
Oh, yeah. Excellent.
Nothing exciting. I just had a commitment. But I was finished. I was all done and dusted for 4:30, so I was able to watch the game.
Nice hot, yes. Again. Warm, you know. Good. Yeah. Excellent.
It's going to get hotter again this week. Dennis is going to fry in the south of England, though.
There was a few messages on the What Bevan panel to say that it smelt of shit around the ground.
Oh, interesting. No, it smells like shit around here as well.
Like a tanning
factory. There's a sewage works nearby. Oh, sewage works. Someone said there was a treatment works nearby.
Watch out with them fireworks with all that bloody methane knocking about. It'd set the fucking lot out, wouldn't it?
Post-contact meter average gain. This was a significant loss. Wire were 2.48, Lee were 3.32. We missed 45 tackles. However, one guy who does need patting on the back is Curry. He made 48 tackles. He was also our biggest meter maker in the forwards with 83 meters. He's got to be thinking, fuck this for a game of soldiers, hasn't he? Like, really? Come on.
He's got another 5 years left yet. What are you on about? Okay. You all right?
I'll look that up.
Did you watch this, Rob? Did you get up and watch this one? I don't know what time it would have been for you. I can't remember what time it was. No.
No, I don't think so. No.
I did watch it, and I think this is where I thought, that's it. It's all over. I did say that. We call a podcast this week, didn't we? Welcome to the mid-season wobble. Apparently, it's not going to be that. It's going to be something else. But I think this was it. I think now we see that we're on the bare bones of our ass the next month or whatever. I think I can't see us recovering the rest of the season. And this game typified it for me. 45 missed tackles. You know, that's bollocks. I mean, what was the completion rate down at 72%?
We killed ourselves before we'd even started. We were already up against it with a weakened team, and we started error, penalty, error. I think in four of the first six possessions we had, and you can't put yourself 10 or 12 points behind within the first 10 minutes when you're already up against it. So, yeah. We stuffed ourselves before we even started.
Parmigiano Reggiano, you know, that sort of...
Oh, yes.
Yeah. Apparently you can leave it out for 4 hours at 32 degrees and it's still all right. That's Ben Curry. There you go.
Oh, okay. Yeah. We got anything for Leon Hayes?
Camembert or possibly mozzarella should not be left out.
Oh, right. That's interesting.
Unless you're bringing it up to room temperature to eat.
So, listen, I've got a quote here off love rugby league. I have to check my eyes. It says there is a shortage, blah, blah, blah. It was a gamble and it backfired. It's fair to say Sam Burgess got the tactical call wrong by putting Irwin at the back and whatever. So, yeah, they were basically slating him, saying that it was the way he picked the team and put him in certain positions. Would you say that that was a tactical sort of error or a coaching mistake?
Well, you know what? I had a flashback. I remember Thackeray getting away once and going round Mick Burke like he was standing still. And this game was very similar, with the young fullback looking down at his feet when he realised he wasn't as quick as he is. And the guy even had time to celebrate and put his hand above his head as he went over the line. He was that much quicker than him. Where have they found that kid? I was looking at that kid from Newcastle. Like, he played a handful of games in the NRL. He's a great find. He also absolutely smashed Irwin close to the line. Irwin did his classic, I've got my right foot step move still working. Did his little right foot step. He's about 4 inches from the line and that fullback just holds him up like he's a piece of paper. Like, it's just different level, absolutely different level.
But despite that, I still think Irwin gave us our biggest threat.
Well, yeah, because he's in a bum team. Look at this team. This was awful. Let's just read this team. Who would Wigan take out of this team? Come on, let's have a listen. Irwin, Webster, Smith, Apawati, Ashton Hayes, Sneed, Byrne, Walker, Harrison, Bentley, Tanganawa and Curry. Forget the bench. How many of that lot are getting in Wigan's first team at the moment?
You not take Bentley?
you know who Harrison reminds me of? I've worked out who he reminds me of now. Gladstone Small.
Oh, right. Because he's not got a big enough neck or something like that.
He just hasn't got shoulders, has he? He hasn't got any shoulders at all.
It's good for, you know, not getting tackled, isn't it, really? In that article, Sam, just going back on what you said about Irwin, it says Irwin was somewhat stunted and unable to fully impact the game as he normally did. But they've brought Mark Sneed in, who was drafted back into the halves. Have you got any comment on Mark Sneed?
God,
he was awful. I mean, actually, I have, and it goes to a slight concern I've got. Ashton currently doesn't look happy. And I've seen him over the last 2 or 3 weeks visibly having a go at the players on the inside, basically for not passing him the ball or not moving the ball towards him. No, I don't just mean his centre. Right. So on one occasion here, we were set out quite deep on the left and Sneed kicks it to the corner when everyone's waiting for a pass. And I saw him. And even the commentators said... that wasn't very good. I think
just bear with me a second. The TV presenter's about to leave. She's wearing just come on camera just a second, just so they can see. She's wearing today a Stella McCartney suit.
Stella McCartney.
Yeah. Where's your biscuits? Where's your biscuits? Show us your biscuits for the TV. Here they are. Here they are for the.
She baked them.
I've had one.
Can we just have from Mrs. London, please, a tip for what we should be eating for the Norway game.
Oh, right. Okay. So Sam wants to know what we should be eating for the Norway game.
Rob's talking to no one here.
She said probably some of her biscuits. Oh, you look beautiful in that. Love you too, darling. Love you.
No one there at all.
I thought you weren't allowed to mention what she's going to do on pain of death.
I've not mentioned it. There she goes again.
Yep. And in the money. You fat ass. there's not really a lot else to say about this game, really, is there? I mean, I'm pretty much switching off at this point. I was so disappointed. I'll wait till we get onto the Sam Burgess interviews.
Let's have a listen to Sam Burgess then.
Sam Burgess, what's your assessment of that?
Start was tough. We gave away 14 points in the first 15, 20 minutes. You know, we got on the wrong side of the error count and penalty count early and it never came back our way. So, you know, I was proud of them hanging and get there at 24-6. It could have been the other way. So I'm happy with their effort to stay out, because, you know, Lee are a challenging side. They've got a lot of great players, so, dust ourselves off and go again next week.
Yeah, Lee, today back to almost full strength. What did you make of their performance, and I suppose what did they get right?
Well, I'm not here to talk about Lee. I don't get paid to talk about Lee. My job's still to worry about Warrington, so yeah, we'll see him again in 3 weeks, so we'll see if it's different.
Okay, so what would you have liked to have seen more from your team then?
Less penalties, less errors.
Sam Powell made an interesting tackle on Tessie Newey. Are you concerned at all by that?
No, I'm glad you brought it up, because the same tackle happened last week to Aaron Lindop, and no one went to the bin. All right, so I don't know, maybe that's a question you've got to ask. Why is it a different outcome today? The referee just had one of those days where it won't go in our way today.
Okay, thanks for talking to
Great,
us.
Great, thanks.
Well, there he is again.
It's childlike, some of his behaviours. It really is. It's like, you know, how many times every week? I know he didn't do it with the Gina Brooks one, but he did in the other post-match interview. He sort of asked the journalist, well, what do you think? It's like, it's fucking hell, it's just such a flippant remark. He shouldn't be doing that. He doesn't articulate anything. And I think as a fan and everybody, I can appreciate that you get passionate, but it doesn't instill you with any confidence about, you know, examining the game, where it went wrong, what you're going to do to put it right. It's just all like, and like he's upset. I mean, it just doesn't fucking bode well.
He gets touchy, doesn't he?
He gets touchy. He throws whatever question he's asked. He's been media trained to throw the question back at the reporter. But I do feel that I think in this one, he said to him something about Sam, what did Warrington do wrong or something? And he said, was it errors or something? He said errors and something else. Hmm. But then she didn't say to him, and how are you going to put that right?
I know. My two go-to questions are, as a coach, what you're going to do about it, and is there a crisis? I mean, that's it. That's all you need to ask him. And the thing is that all I want is just sort of like, you know, articulate explanations. Listen to any other coach. You know, they're used to it. They talk about it. It's a game at the end of the day. You don't need to prove how upset you are and this, that, and the other. Yeah, we fucking lost. But what are you going to do about it? You're not going to go into a business meeting, are you, and say, you know, acting like that. You want to know what you're going to do about it. So that's me anyway. I've fucked it off now. I can't be fucking arsed.
I don't listen to them anymore. I've given up listening to them because it's just the same. It's the same every time. When they lose, he gets tetchy. He throws the question back at the reporter. He's like a child throwing his toys out of his pram. Mm. Yeah, he's just so immature. Like, why have we got this immature coach at Warrington? Let him go and do his apprenticeship somewhere else. But he's a motivator, and that's all he is. That's all he is.
Wheel out McNamara for the post-match interviews and get a bit of sense, maybe.
We haven't seen McNamara in one post-match interview, have we? He's not been there at all.
Yeah. Wasn't he very early? But ever since he signed for Hull, he seems to have been sidelined a bit, doesn't he?
Yeah.
Oh, dear.
Who's got that tone on the phone still?
Who do you think?
Boot a bit up, Bob. Still got it from 1988 or whenever phones came out.
It always goes off about this time of night, and I don't know what it's telling me.
Have you never changed the beep?
He's got a digital watch on his arm that plays the Yellow Rose of Texas as well, if you're lucky. He'll play that.
Oh, yes, yeah. You remember that, yes. How do you remember things like that?
Star Wars or the Yellow Rose of Texas, depending if you had the Casio or come up with the other. The black one with the little sort of calculator on the front. That was Star Wars, and the Casio from Argos was
the Yellow Rose of Texas. Yeah,
there you go. Right, round 17 Magic Weekend results. Huddersfield 24, York 36. That was about the best game, I think. Was the one I saw. Hull KR 26, Hull 12, Catalans 18, Toulouse 60.
I thought
that was a typo. I had to go back and look that one up. Wakefield 48, Castleford 6, Leeds 50, Bradford 16.
God.
And then finally we had a close game. I didn't see it, but Wigan beat St Helens 16-14. Yeah. If you compare that them to the Magic Weekend in the NRL that were all like last minute drop goals, this was just like, you can't, why are they putting them together almost by region? Is that they should
mini
stop
derbies
that?
No, it's a deliberate, it's deliberate, whether you agree or not, it's a deliberate.
I know,
well, you know, Catalans Catalans and Toulouse right. played in France. They didn't play at Everton. They stayed in France and played
there. Oh,
did
there. They? Oh.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, that's good, isn't it?
And a positive for you, let's keep the positivity up, oh, is right. the weekend attendance there was 77,482, which is by some considerable way the best Magic weekend attendance overall. And it's 26% up on the average of the previous 77,000.
We didn't have to go all the way to Newcastle, right? That was because they all could get the bus to Everton.
How many games were there then?
Six. That's over the 2 days. And there was 5,500 turned up to the
game. 12,000 a game. 12,000 a game. That's roughly what it is. So it's like any other Super League week, really, I suppose, isn't it? Well, probably a little bit. Well,
so was it a sellout? It wasn't a sellout.
No.
A lot of empty seats.
No.
Right. Mm. Do the rugby union put on a Magic weekend? Do they do one at Twickers or anything? They used to do that Sevens, didn't they? Do they not do...
What are you asking that for? Are we doing a podcast on union next year?
Well, I'm just saying it would be fun.
He wants to compare crowds, but Saracens and I think Harlequins always take a game there and always seem to get 50-ish thousand
right.
for their individual game.
Right. Oh, well, there we go. Okay, yeah. Well, let's have a look at the league table then. We're still up there. We're in third. So from what we can sort of see now, we've got seven teams vying for the top six positions, I think. I don't think there's anyone below Leeds. Mm. So it's Leeds out on top, 28 points. Wigan now in second on 24. As to a Warrington on 24. As to a Wakefield on 24. Warrington still have that game in hand, away at Hull KR. Hull KR are in fifth on 22 points. St Helens are on 22 points as well in sixth. And Lee, coming home with a wet sail, played 17 on 20 points. Then it's a drop-off. Sorry, I'm sounding like Harry Kane. Lost my voice. Catalans, Castleford, Hull, Toulouse, York, Bradford and Huddersfield, we can forget about, right? They're gone.
Yes. Yeah,
they're gone.
I agree.
Right. Okay. So, I mean, it's back to what Dennis said, really. Where are Warrington going to finish? They're going to lose the next two. That's a certainty. So we're going to start to slide a little bit, yeah?
Yeah, so who've you got below us now? You've got Hull KR, they're naturally going to play us and go above us, probably.
Mm.
And you've got St Helens and Lee, who've just beat us. And we're playing Lee again in a few weeks, so...
Right, okay.
Interesting.
Well, the mastermind game of picking where the teams are going to finish in their positions come the end of the season, combined score is 2, as... is my score. I've got 2. Sam's only got 1. Dennis now has a staggering 6. What's the secret, Dennis?
Well, the secret is I have got one anomaly in there. I've got Castleford as being bottom below Huddersfield.
Right.
You know, they've managed to pick up some points, but I've got Warrington in 7th place as well.
Me too. So yeah. It could still be on that, couldn't it?
Yeah, it could be. So no, there's a few teams to shuffle. Sorry, the guy with one wants to say something. Yeah. What was it?
Yeah, it won't be.
The guy who's got one and also owes the bank $100, that one.
Yes, that's the same one.
I'm saying St Helens won't improve their position because St Helens still have to play Wigan, Wakefield, Leeds, Lee and Hull KR.
Don't we have to do that, though?
No. Yes.
Do they have to play? Do Saints have to play us again?
No.
Oh, okay.
No, that would be a guaranteed 2 points for us, wouldn't it?
We never lose
the way things have been going the last 2 or 3 years.
Right. Well, exciting.
Before that, John Craven's News Round.
Joe Philbin will leave Warrington at the end of the season and join the London Broncos on a 2-year deal. The 31-year-old has made 250 appearances for his hometown club. Right, off he goes. Off he goes.
So that's King and Philbin at London then? Is there anyone else?
Yes.
Sam got up to watch the England game
I think, it, and it got delayed an hour, didn't it? So what? We're like 3 a.m. And I sent him a message to say, this is me every week having to get up at 3 a.m. to watch Warrington, but you're watching Bellingham and Harry Kane. I'm getting up to watch Joe Philbin.
Good luck.
We take the Mickey out of Philbin, and I think we're right to in a certain way. But if we're going to be nice for a minute or two, the issue with Philbin, I feel, is he came onto the scene and he looked to be a pretty good player for us, age 20, 21, whatever it was. And I think our disappointment is he remained a pretty good player without ever moving forward to becoming a good player or a very good player. Yeah. A good squad player, good servant, 250 games. You can't argue with that, but I'm glad he's moving on.
There's our 30-second tribute of Joe Philbin. Thank you.
To Vitai Pangau Jr., who signed for Warrington ahead of the 2026 season but never played a game for Wire after cancelling his contract, in a move that seemed to align with the arrival of Steve McNamara, has been hit with a 6-match suspension by the Rugby Football League after being found guilty of eye gouging. Pangai Jr. was issued with a Grade F charge, the most serious offence available under the RFL judiciary. He was playing all right till that happened. So,
yeah.
Well, we dodged a bullet there, didn't we?
Probably did. Probably did.
Now, staying with props, ex-Wire forward Mike Cooper has appeared at Liverpool Crown Court, where he admitted 2 counts of stalking involving fear of violence against Miss Imogen Walker and Mr. Benjamin Howarth. The court heard that Cooper carried out a campaign of harassment, which included leaving abusive notes on Mrs. Walker's car, scratching words into the vehicle's bodywork, and damaging its tyres. Cooper also denied 2 further stalking charges relating to causing distress. Those allegations including verbally abuse and loitering outside Mrs. Walker's home and spying on Mr. Howarth. However, prosecutors said they were not seeking a trial on those charges, which are expected to remain on file while Cooper is sentenced. His defence requested a pre-sentence report along with a neurological assessment. Cooper's lawyer told the court he was the first rugby player in either code to retire because of neurological damage. Judge Andrew Maneri, Casey, adjourned sentencing until allow medical and character reports to be prepared. Cooper retired from rugby league in 2025 after medical advice following a concussion.
Did he, was it a Mini Cooper that he sort of scratched the paintwork of?
Do you know what? I was actually at Office. I don't, do you have Office Works in England? It's like a stationery, big stationery shop. And I had to go in.
Staples.
And, yeah, and all that kind of stuff. Yeah. I had to go in and buy a few. Look, I went in and I bought myself, I had to buy some pens and I had to get some liquid for the, you know, to clean the computers. But on special were Post-it notes at the counter.
Oh, excellent.
50 cents each. So I've got loads now. So.
Go around leaving notes for your neighbours.
So we might have a little bit of a writing. Answers on a Post-it note.
Yeah.
What's the question? Something about this is going.
What's the most abusive note you've left for a co-worker or a family member or a neighbour?
What note would you leave Sam Burgess in the post-match interview? This is his first question. There you are, Sam. What note would you leave him?
Dear.
You can't even answer it.
AI's good, isn't it? I sent him. After it happened, I sent Sam a picture of a car with a bit of a dusty back window. I just wrote cunt on it and sent it to Sam. It was quite... what's this neurological stuff then that's going on, Mr. Sankey? Is this a fair call? Are you allowed to sort of use this as your defence now?
Am I allowed to say what I think?
I think you are. Yeah. Don't see why not. Yeah.
Because he has been found guilty, hasn't he?
He has been found guilty.
Yeah, it's our public record.
Okay. So I'm reading this as he's been a nasty bastard and his defence is because I got hit in the head playing rugby league. Is that how I'm reading this?
Yeah.
Is that how I'm reading that?
And finally, Sam Powell looks increasingly likely to hang up his boots at the end of the season, but Sam Burgess is keen to keep him at Warrington. Powell has already been helping coaching the academy and reserves, with Burgess describing him as a great coach and praising the influence he has behind the scenes. Despite limited game time this year, Burgess says Powell's impact off the field is every bit as important as what he contributes on it.
I've got a funny feeling that this is Sam Burgess edging towards his number two for next year. Something to look forward to.
No, he contributes off the field, no yards as well.
Yeah, that's how I'm reading it. He does fuck all on the field, he does fuck all at coaching. Yeah, it's good, isn't it?
Don't tell me you've brought the lads to the circus. Why, the last time the circus was in town, it was mistaken for a Warrington board meeting.
Well, I've spent the whole afternoon, Ralphal, admiring their enormous pole.
Oh, Samuel, you dirty old man.
No, Ralphal, I'm talking about their big top tent.
Oh, my apologies, Sammy. For a moment there, I thought you'd ask Gina Brukas about her ideal length. Actually, hang on a minute, Sammy. I don't think the circus is very PC. Who on earth thinks it's appropriate in a modern age to entertain the audience with midgets and dwarfs?
That's just Leon Hayes, Ollie Leyland and Luke Yates taking their seats. Besides, James Bentley, Ralphie, has taken to the trapeze.
Oh yes, lovely hair flowing in the air. actually, do you think it's really a good idea that he launches himself through the air with absolutely no regard for the consequence that it all goes to shit?
Well, that's exactly what a high wire act's supposed to do, Ralphie.
Oh, well, I guess it is the first time anyone has seen James Bentley suspended and thought it was a good idea.
The clowns have been a huge hit with the players.
What exactly are the clowns teaching?
You know, slapstick comedy, tomfoolery, two lefty, incompetence and driving round in tiny sponsored cars.
Oh, yes, yes, yes. Oh, it's just basically Fitz's management. Oh, besides, I'm not sure the clowns can teach the players any new tricks. I mean, the boys are already used to the wheels falling off.
Ah, that's a good point. Although, Kai Taylor Frey is learning to juggle.
Oh, tackle sacks. The poor young lad struggles under the high ball. Never mind three.
It's only a bit of fun, Ralphie. They're also teaching Gary Chambers to spin plates.
Oh, my captain's challenge. He can't even rotate our recruitment strategy.
Hindsight's a wonderful thing, isn't it?
Bloody hell, would you believe it? Professor Broomhead has volunteered to be fired from a human cannon.
Oh, rag and bone my arse. They'll need more than gunpowder to propel him through the air. They'll have to tap into the nuclear reactor at Windscale just to get the big daft bugger airborne. Oh, it'll leave a bigger crater than the one that wiped out the dinosaurs.
Oh, I know. The amount of dust thrown up into the atmosphere will block out the sun for years, Ralpho, drastically reducing the Earth's temperature and making conditions absolutely apocalyptic.
Sorry, Sam. We're still talking about the catastrophic chain of events that led to the extinction of the dinosaurs, or just a Sunday afternoon game at Widnes.
Well, at least our club captain's joining in. George Williams is learning how to walk the tightrope.
Oh, yes, yes. I see he's abandoned the balancing pole. I guess with a nose like that, he's already got his own yardstick.
Apparently, Ralpho, the secret to tightrope walking is to keep looking forward and then never look back.
Oh, yes, like I did at Huddersfield. And much like being a Warrington supporter, Sammy, the moment you look back at the last 55 years, you look down and fall into a deep state of depression.
Well, the circus was a gift for you two, wasn't it? I did like the strong start with the PC or non-PC midget players, and also there's nothing like trying to shoehorn Widnes is a shithole into.
I know. Favourite line. It is the. I think we've broke him, Rob. I think we've probably broken him.
Yeah.
I think we can start getting a bit risque with some of the writing, I think. Yeah.
Sharpen your pencil.
Yeah.
Does the circus still come to town? Is it still Vicky Park? Is it still there? No,
I didn't.
Still opposite Warrington Sports Club. It's always on that field, isn't it? Up at Walton. It's always there still.
Yeah, it was Warrington Walking Day this week, but they didn't have a walking day. They had some sort of, they didn't walk because it cost too much money. They had some sort of limited thing. And when I dropped my neighbours off at the train station on Saturday afternoon, there was some sort of fair on Vicky Park, but I didn't go.
The one opposite the Warrington Sports Club used to break into the sports club every year. One year, the roller for the wicket went through the wall. They tried to get at the safe. And then in the end, the groundsman at Warrington went across to the, you know, chief gypsy on the site. And he said, what's your problem? And he said, well, you've put a padlock on the water tap by the tennis courts. So they took the lock off the water tap and that was it. No problem.
Yeah, very good.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's
Tickleband.
Tragedy struck. The wife's mother was brought home. She'd had an accident at work. Bit of a messy affair. Apparently a hot rivet had dropped down her drawers and she'd fell off the oil rig. Hell of a job to rescue her. Because she's so fat, she capsized a tanker and ruptured a diver. She'd always been a violent woman, but after the accident she went worse until finally one night in a public house of ill repute, I saw her lying on the floor in a pool of cheap gin and Britvic. And six big men were kicking and hitting her with bar stools. One of my neighbours said, are you going to help? I said, no, six of them should be enough.
Thank you.
What a great Les Dawson intro. Favourite. I love Les Dawson. Right, welcome back to Tackle Gags, where Rugby League once again proves that if football's doing it, we'll copy it 20 years later and make it slightly worse. That's that my only little mention of football. This week, the RFL found £50,000 down the back of the sofa to help York Knights out. Apparently, it wasn't a bailout, it was just a temporary loan. The council tax in an affluent area has put pressure on the club's finances, so that's the reason for that. Then Super League helpfully published the best places to visit in Liverpool for the Magic Weekend. Oh, 25 pubs, a list, no museums, no waterfront, no cathedrals, no Beatles, just 25 opportunities to get shit-faced and slowly forget about the score at Warrington. So that was that. I did find that quite strange that, you know, you go to a new place you've got all this thing to go and find out. They just listed 25 places to drink. So they obviously embraced that. But the biggest craze sweeping rugby league, I've mentioned this before, is club anthems. Hull KR have now the officials waiting while the crowd belts out the Erasure, A Little Respect.
And you like now, that, don't you? You really like that.
Fucking hate it. Absolutely. And Leeds now have embraced Mr. Brightside, the Killers, I noticed last week.
Who
so it's catching on. Leeds. 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 But I had a look into this. I was thinking, well, okay, if you're going to sing a song, what's the meaning behind it? So, A Little Respect, a desperate longing for reciprocated love. Written by Vince Clarke and Andy Bell, it's a plea of withholding partner compassion and a powerful, defiant message of queer resilience. Yeah. So, you know, they've managed to get resilience in there. Mr. Brightside, I'm not sure they've chose this well. Unbridled jealousy and betrayal. The lyrics detail the agony of a protagonist obsessing over his partner's infidelity while simultaneously forcing himself to put on a brave, optimistic face to survive heartache. I mean, these songs are fucking shit.
Wait till you hear what I'm playing out for Mike Cooper.
Oh, fuck. apparently every club now needs a karaoke warm-up before a kickoff, which has got me thinking. Every club's going to end up with an anthem, aren't they? It's the way it's going to go. You can imagine Cal Fitzpatrick well onto this. So I was thinking, what would Warrington's club anthem be? So I've got a list of a few here. Yeah. I'd like to get your thoughts. Mm. Money, 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 ABBA.
No,
I think that's a good one to sing to. Do you not think
they could get? They could probably get Jenna Brooks and Tanya Arnold to dress up in wigs and be part of an ABBA tribute act.
Sorry, would Tanya Arnold be playing one of the ladies?
I had pictures when I was growing up. I had pictures all over my wall of the blonde. He was gorgeous.
let's go against the money bit and then say money for nothing with Dire Straits.
Oh, that's more that reflects it. That's more appropriate. Yeah, isn't it?
I mean, we've spent a lot of money, but we haven't got anything.
That's a good one.
There's an obvious one, Hungry Like a Wolf, Duran Duran. And if you actually look at some of the lyrics...
play that before the game.
Cut that, Rob. That's fucking bullshit. what about I Still Haven't Found What I'm Looking For by U2? I thought that would be a good one, wouldn't it? Yeah.
Mrs. London would like that.
I'm sure she would. I think if we found some tickets for Mrs. London, that'd be good. I thought of another one. Queen, Another One Bites the Dust. Another Year Bites the Dust.
Yeah, that's good. These are all very good. Yeah.
These are good. So, but I'm going to settle on this one. I like this one. Living on a Prayer, Bon Jovi. Because you can imagine that. Everybody can sing. Living on a Prayer.
Is that taking you and Irwin's haircut as well?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. That's Living on a Hair. Living on a Prayer tells a story of a working class couple, Tommy and Gina, The song's core meaning revolves around resilience and surviving tough times through love, hope, and mutual support. Well, now that's more like it, isn't it?
That's very good.
It is, yeah. I did have a start having a look at other teams. I looked at Huddersfield's Giants, and I got The Sound of Silence by Simon and Garfunkel. Well, nothing else to say that. But, you know, now we'll probably have the RFL Anthem accreditation panel in the future, minimising, you know, looking at the standards, video ref to check, see if the chorus is in tune, and the captain's challenge if the crowd comes in too early. But welcome to modern rugby league, everyone, because I think this is going to be at every club soon. And we're one step away from awarding league points for hitting the high and low notes.
Yeah, that's so very good, Dennis. What about Ship of Fools? It's a song about having not steering in the right direction. Is that
the Lars?
No, it's Erasure.
Oh, fuck off. We're not playing Erasure. Bollocks to that.
Predictions.
Good afternoon to you. Earlier on today, apparently, a woman rang the BBC and said she heard that there was a hurricane on the way. Well, if you're watching, don't worry, there isn't.
I'll predict Warrington, but can I do it with a caveat, please?
Next up for Wire, possibly their biggest test of the season so far as they make their way this Friday night to Wigan. The game gets underway at 8 o'clock. Now, a little bit of a recap on the money. We've had two rounds of betting. Sam has lost another £6. Dennis has lost another £23. I gained £269 following Ashton's first try. So Sam's just got his head in the black on £104. Dennis is on £130. I'm back to £719. Now, I sent you the odds on a Wigan win. They're 12-1 on to win this game. If I stick my £700 on it, I'm going to get £50 back, which I thought was possibly a certainty. But we are being told that Sipley, King and Thulis will all return for this game. And Wigan have lost three players, right? They've lost Nisemba, the good standoff, and someone else. So does that balance things out, Sam? Does it give you a bit of optimism?
I think Wigan will be missing Bevan French, Jack Farriman, Junior Nisemba, Nathan Lowe, who is himself a replacement for Liam Marshall, who's out, Liam Farrell, Sam Walters, Luke Thompson. Right. I think they're all out.
So we're the same. We had, apparently we had 10 of our best 19 out last week. Three of them are back, if you go by those maths. So we've got seven of our best starting.
Who are you going to back, though? Squad players? Wigan squad players or Warrington squad players?
Exactly. It's not just the squad players I'm backing. I reckon if you bring back those 10 players that Warrington are missing, how many start for Wigan? And I'd be surprised if more than two started for Wigan. I don't know where these 10 players that come back are beneficial to winning Super League. I just don't see it.
I watched the Wigan match, and the ginger-haired forward that they brought in, I don't know his name, but he made a big impact for Wigan.
Did he?
Was don't even know where he came from, but yeah.
It's
like
funny how they just let Byrne go, isn't it? I wonder, do you think there was some, like, you know, they actually thought about that and thought, oh, we can let him go because we've got the big ginger-haired lad coming through. It's
yeah, possibly.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah. All right, Sam, come on, give us your money then. Where are you putting it?
Well, I've got to go Wigan, but...
You weren't going to make any money at all, by the way.
No. So, Sky Bet have them with a 14-point, Warrington with a 14-point start. I think it could be closer than that. Mm. So, just purely on money, I've got to go Warrington and a fiver. I would like to think we'll be within 10 points of what I expect their team to be.
Right. And you're hoping for better.
And I'm hoping for better.
And your first try scorer?
Well, I'm not convinced whether Thulis will play or not, so I'm going to go Ewan Irwin.
Which one?
Yeah, which one? Which one?
May or Irwin?
Both of you.
How much are you having on that, Sam?
Just a fiver.
And how much are you having on Dennis?
A pound. Fiver.
Oh.
Dennis, are you bothering with any money this week? There's no point.
Yeah, I'm putting £10 on Warrington win. That's the biggest
£10 on a wire win.
But
right.
I am changing from Liam Byrne, even though I think he's got a point to prove against Wigan. I'm going for Thomas, £10.
Thomas. He does get close to the line, doesn't he? But he always comes up short. He's really trying, but it's like, can't quite.
I know. Whether he can find anybody to put him through a gap, I mean, is another thing, because I just don't see. I mean, is it, what squad-wise, are we playing Hayes and Irwin in the centres? In the halfbacks? Or is Irwin going to be at fullback? What's that
if
mean?
No, if surely if Thewlis is back, then Irwin goes to halves, into the halves, and I can't.
Sneed?
I just can't see Sneed. I just can't see it. Hayes is not the answer. But no, I've been Sneed off with Powell, and almost Bentley. I've been those three off, I'm afraid.
Oh, right. Well,
tell you what I am looking for. Can I just say real briefly? I need to see more. I need to see more from Ashton in a positive way. I think he's trying, but he's currently grumpy. That might be more to do with the team inside him.
Yeah.
Ashton, Sipley, Tanganoa and Byrne. I need to see more from them.
Right.
How can you ask Ashton to do any more? He's bringing the ball out. That's all he's doing now, bringing the ball out every time, which he's good at. He's not in any position where there's anyone putting a cutout pass or anything. There's nothing.
No, I agree. But I think I think his body language is showing his frustration, and it might just be a psychological thing for him. Not on about his physical effort. Just need to see something from him. But he needs to be given this space to do it.
Well, that's not going to happen, is it? Right. Well, they're 12-1 on, but I've got the money to burn, so I will go £600 on a Wigan win, and I'll have £3 on Liam Byrne.
I knew you'd do that. Yeah. What?
Oh, dear. Okay, that's it. We'll be back after England take on Norway in the World Cup quarterfinal in Miami Vice. So until then, it's a Crockett and Tubbs goodbye from me, a white Ferrari Testarossa so long from Sam.
All the best.
And a South American drug cartel farewell from Dennis.
Good seeing you.
You've been listening to What? From Brian Bevan Say. Got any of the cheese left, Sam? My name is
Luca. I always have cheese. I spend a lot of money at that little stall.
What about the other fella?
Yes, I think you've seen me before. If you hear something late at night, some kind of troublesome kind of fight, just don't ask me what it was. Just don't. I'm crazy. I try not